Well, I hope you had a great Christmas season. Now we start out with a new year. This is the first Sunday of a new year, and a lot of things have changed, hasn't it? In our society, in our world. Some of you might be saying, well, I've already been asked, how in the world are we going to make it through 2013? Well, that got me to thinking, how are we living in 2013? You see, everybody wants to know how we're going to make it these days, how we're going to spend our time. And a lot of people spend their time running to and fro, don't we? The days are just gone before you know it. We do the same thing. How many of you do the same thing just about every day? Oh, yes, we all do, don't we? Kind of like in a rut, don't we? Sometimes you get in a rut and you just can't get out of that rut. Someone once told me a rut was a grave with both ends kicked out. Well, sometimes I feel like that. We're stuck in a grave and we just can't seem to get out. Well, life for many people, including Christians, is kind of very monotonous. You see, we do the same thing day in and day out. And we feel like sometimes, well, I'm not getting anywhere. Have you ever felt like that? You're not getting anywhere. When I thought about that, I'm not getting anywhere, I came to Numbers. In your Bible, in Numbers chapter 13, I want to talk about chapter 13 and 14 because it's the story of the children of Israel as they're going into Canaan land. You see, we find in chapter 13, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for watching over us. Lord, we thank you for showing us how to live our life. And Heavenly Father, I pray today, if we're not living according to your plan, Lord, that today we might get our lives in line with you. Show us how to live in 2013, that we might honor and glorify you with our lives, and we give you all the praise, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. In our text here, we have the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, about to go in and possess Canaan land, a land which God has given them. Now, they've been wandering around in the wilderness over and over and over in their life, and I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes that's the way I feel, that I'm wandering around in a wilderness and I'm not getting anywhere. I'm traveling all the highways, but I just seem to get nowhere in life. You know, anytime we get out of the will of God with our lives, we find ourselves in a rut. We find ourselves not getting anywhere. We're doing some things, we're doing a lot of activities, but we're not getting anywhere. And God never intended his children to wander and wander and wander in a wilderness and not get anywhere. He said, listen, I've got a land for you, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of abundance. And I want you to go in and take that land and possess that land. 2,000 years ago, God had a plan for us. He sent his son into the world. He sent his son into the world to die for our sins, that when we come to him, we might have life eternal. The blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's cross gave us victory. It's there. The Bible says in John 4:34 that he came to do the will of God who sent him, the Father. Luke 19:10 says he came to seek and to save those who are lost. Now, who's lost? We are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. John 10:10 applies here. He said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You see, God says, I come that you might have life, not death, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. When Jesus Christ came in the world, he faced the trials that we face. He faced the tears that we face. He said, I have overcome the world. By his death on the cross, he overcame. He overcame in his resurrection. He rose from the grave. He rose a victor. And because he lives today, we can have life. And he said, I did all that for the joy. For joy, he says. For the joy that was set before him, he endured earth. He endured the cross. He endured the shame. And he sat down at the Father's hand. And he made a way that you and I don't have to wander in the wilderness. We don't have to wander in the wilderness. And you know what? God says life is not to be endured. Life is to be enjoyed. Now, are you having joy in life? I'm sad to say that most Christians don't know the joy of the abundant life that God says, I want you to have. We don't know that joy because we're stuck in a rut. We're not living according to God's plan. We're like the children of Israel. I'm not going to read all of chapter 13 and 14, but here's the story. They go into the land, just like God says, you send out spies into the land. You know what happened? They went into the land, they came back, and they gave a report. That report was, it is a land blessed, like God has said. It's a land that's got milk and honey. It's a land that everything is so beautiful. The waters are great. The fruit's great. They brought some of it back. They bought big old clusters of grapes so that they could taste it. But they said, you know what? It's a land that's blessed, but we're scared. We're scared because of the people that live there. The people there are the Amalekites, Jebusites, and all them other little mites. And we can't take them. They are like giants, and we're like grasshoppers. In other words, there's a multitude of them, and there's only so few of us. God said, go in, take the land, but we just can't do it. Oh, Joshua and Caleb, you know the story. They stood up and said, yes, we can. With God, we can take it. But the people didn't listen to them. They listened to the majority of them, and they said no. And they said, you know what? Let's rise up against Moses. Let's rise up against God. And God says, okay, you're not going to inherit it. You'll wander 40 more years in the wilderness till everybody dies except Joshua and Caleb and all those under 20. Now, folks, they did not receive the life that God wanted them to have. And they were like so many people today in our churches. God says, I have made a way that you can have abundant life. It can be overflowing in your life. You can have joy in your life. It's there for the taking. And many times we say, but Lord, we can't do that. And we refuse to have it in our life. If we're going to survive in 2013, and I know some of you are wondering, boy, what is it going to bring? Well, I like to look at it this way. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saved and keeps me. And he's the one I'm living for. Jay knows that tune. I hear him sing it all the time. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. You see, Israel missed their blessing. Will you? Will you miss your blessing in 2013? Now, preacher, how am I going to live? You hadn't told me anything yet. How am I going to live in 2013? Well, First, you're going to have to live according to the design of God's will. You catch that? If you're going to make it in 2013, you're going to have to live in the design of God's will for your life. Now, God says, I came, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, in promise of salvation. Whosoever will may come. That's what God says. Everyone in here today, if you're not saved, you're out of God's will, you're lost. God says, I came that you might have life, and you're lost. You're out of salvation. You haven't accepted the gift. You're like these children of Israel. It's there. All they have to do is walk over and get it. But they said, no, we can't. We're not going to do that. We choose to wander in the wilderness. Well, let me tell you something. The gift of salvation, Jesus Christ, died for you. He shed His blood on Calvary for you. It's been paid for. He said, it is finished. It's there. All you have to do is receive my salvation. How do you receive salvation? He says, by faith in Jesus Christ. By faith in what He did at Calvary. By faith you inherit eternal life. It's there. It's a gift. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's there this morning. Just like Canaan was there. It's ready for you to possess. But His desire is for you to come. He wants you to receive that pardon. He wants you to receive eternal life. He wants you to be forgiven of all your sins. He wants you to come to Him this morning. But you've got to come. You've got to step over and come. You cannot just sit there in your own self and say, well, I believe it's there, but I don't know if I can have it or not. It's there for the taking, folks. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. Salvation is there, folks. It's there. I took it in 1979. I received Jesus, 1975. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I had heard about it since I was just a little tyke in Sunday school. I had read the Bible stories and everything. I knew the way to come to Jesus, but I had never accepted that gift of faith. Salvation by faith. And then in 1975, the Holy Spirit showed me that even though I was in church, even though I was a Sunday school teacher, even though I was been a superintendent in the Sunday school, you needed Christ as your salvation. And by faith, I said, Lord, I can't go on living like this. I'm stuck in a rut. I'm in a grave, and I want out of that grave. And I stepped forward by faith. And I told the preacher, listen, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior more than anything else in the world. Folks, I received Christ that day, and He's been alive in me ever since. You see, in Jesus Christ this morning, you can receive life. And when you receive Him into your life, you receive His presence into your life. He seals you with His Spirit. He gives you His power. It's called a new birth in the Bible. It doesn't mean that you're perfect, but it means that you will grow to be like Christ. It means that you will see Him as your Lord and Savior and let Him guide you. And all He wants is you to let Him have first place in His life. Can you do that? When you let Him have first place in your life, your life will start to grow. Your life will be what God wants it to be. Because see, that is the design of God's will for your life. He wants you to have salvation. We know that. He said, I come that all might have life. I want you to have that life. So that is the design of God's will. And then, after you're saved, if you're going to make it in 2013... you have to enter into the promised land of service. You see, even though the promised land was there, they had to do something. They had to go in and possess that land. Jesus Christ died for our sin that we might have salvation. But He wants us to grow in our walk towards Him. He wants us to have that abundant life in him. So to do that, we have to do something. We have to start serving Jesus Christ. You see, they begin to whine. I like chapter 14. It says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and they cried. What are they doing? They're whining. And the people wept that night. They cried. God says, it's there. All you have to do is take it. They said, we can't. And they begin to whine and they begin to cry like a bunch of little kids. Folks, I hear people all the time whining and crying about how bad things are. And I'll say to them, have you trusted Jesus Christ? No. I said, well, you're missing out on the greatest blessing in your life. Quit whining and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Start living for him and your life will start shining then. You see, you're going to have problems in life. We're going to have problems in 2013. But with Christ, every day gets better. Every day's a joy. Let me tell you something. The Bible says we need to stand tall for Jesus Christ as Christians. We need to stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ. I love that old song, Onward Christian Soldiers Marching As to War. That's what we are, folks. We're God's servants. We're in his service. And that's what he needs us to do. And if we're going to live life abundantly in 2013, it starts with salvation in Christ Jesus. And then, let me tell you what it does. It ain't Father's Day, but it moves into our homes. How many of you are father? Raise your hand. Okay, a bunch of you, aren't you? Let me tell you something. Fathers, if you want to follow God's design in 2013 for your life, first you need to be saved. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. Then second, you need to bring that into your home. You need to bring that joy and that salvation. You need to bring the very presence of God into your home. I think it's the father's responsibility. He set you in charge of your household. So you ought to lead your children in the way that's right. You ought to teach them about Jesus Christ. I tell you what, it'd be heaven on earth if our fathers would just get in line with God and his plan for their life. What is a home? Well, a home is heaven on earth if it's run right. Someone said it's a world of strife where strife is shut out. That's what a home is. A home is where the love of God is shut in. And a father's kingdom and his children's paradise is with their father and their mother in their home, loving one another. That's God's design for us. So you start with salvation in Christ Jesus. And fathers, you lead your children in the way that it should right. You love your wife. That's what a home is. Home is where we gripe the most and we're loved the most. You see? Home. That's what God designed for us. Make your home a heaven on earth. Make you and your wife a complete place. Love one another. Teach them about God. That's what God's plan is. God created Adam in the garden. And when Adam started naming the animals, the Bible says God saw that Adam's heart was lonely because he hadn't made a helpmate for him. So he made woman. And he gave woman to man. And the Bible says that was a beautiful wedding in the garden. The two came one flesh, and they had a happy home until sin entered. You see, sin always destroys, doesn't it? Make your home heaven on earth. Don't let sin come that way. That's God's design. That's God's desire for a Christian to serve God, to live for God, to have a Christian home in your life. Don't deviate from God's will. Don't deviate. Listen to what they did. They sent out the spies. God wanted them to conquer, but they said, no, we can't do it. They said, it's a fearful place. Only two, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can go in. You see, God's plan was that the children of Israel could go in and take the land that was flowing with milk and honey, that they could live serving Him. They could have a happy home. They could have rest there. But they chose not to. They deviated from God's will. And you know what I find in our Bibles and in our families today? Our families, our church members, everybody is deviating from God's will in life. You see, they said, we can't live like that. We'll go in and they'll kill us. We'll die. If we're going to live in 2013, you've got to have salvation first to be in God's will. And then, let me tell you something. We all have problems, amen? Families have problems, amen? I don't know about you, but my family's not perfect. We have problems. There's all kinds of problems. But you know the difference in a lot of families' life with problems? They don't see the problems. They see challenges that are opportunities for growth. These people saw the challenges and took a detour. You see, there's nothing wrong with sending out spies to check out the land. It's nothing wrong with you in your life if you're going to make it through 2013 to get the facts. You need to know the facts. And after you get the facts, you need to pray about the situation. They prayed about the situation. And so many today say, okay, God, you give us salvation. You put us in this home, and we've got problems, and it don't work without ever praying about the situation, without ever trying to give God the glory in their life. Everybody has problems, but don't deviate from God's will. And when we're not following God's will, then we're deviating from that. We're going around that. So look at the challenges this year is going to bring, not as a detour in life, but to overcome the problems in life. And all we can do is work with God. We can co-labor with God, you see. We are co-laborers, the Bible says, with Jesus Christ. I believe in prayer, but I also believe that we work together with God. And if all we do is pray about something and say, okay, I'm going to sit here and wait till God answers that prayer, you're doing the wrong thing. You need to pray about it. Not only pray about it, do something. Do something with God. If you don't, let me tell you what. If all you do is sit down in a corner and whine and pray, life is going to roll over you like a steamroller. It's going to flatten you out. You can't make it like that. The Bible says He created us, and He created us for service. And how many of you serving God with your life? Really serving God with your life. Now, statistics tell us that about 20% of the people in the local church do 80% of the work. Just think what would happen in this church if every born-again believer says, okay, preacher, we want to serve God. Where can we serve? Man, let me tell you, this church would rise up. Salvations would come up. Baptisms would come up. Tithes would come up, you see. Everything would go smoother because that's the way God planned it. God said, I want you to be saved and I want you to serve me. Well, they didn't. Why? Because they listened to the wrong group of people. Now, let me tell you something. If you want to be successful in 2013, first of all, you got to get in God's will with your life. Maybe you're already saved and you're out of God's will. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, salvation is the most important. You've got to come to know Jesus Christ. Then don't deviate from His plan. Go to church, read your Bible, pray, serve, get your house in order. Love your wife, love your children, Love each other. Don't be critical to each other. And then, like these, if you want to be successful, don't listen to the wrong crowd. You see, failure comes when we start listening to the world. The world will tell you that preacher's full of hot air. That's not right. You'll never get ahead by going to church. You'll never get ahead serving God. That's a lie from the devil. You'll always have problems. Or that church up there, is all they're going to want is for you to be up there working. All they want is your money. Now, how many times I've heard that. All they want is your money up there at that church. I don't want your money. I want your life. God wants your life. He's already got your money. You see? You say, well, I made my money. Well, he gave you the health to make it with. He gave you the wisdom. And let me tell you what. It can be taken away just that quick. God's got this world in control. He's got everything in control. Don't listen to the wrong people. They listen to the wrong people. They listen to the majority. And I tell you what, the majority says today, don't go to church. That's the majority. The majority says today, live life while you can. Grab all the gusto you can. That's what the world says. But God says, no, put me first in your life, and I will bless you. You see, they listened to the wrong crowd, and they wandered another 40 years in the wilderness. They saw their problems as failures. And they said, we can't take that land. They're big out there, and we're so small. But you know, if we look at Christ in the light of his strength and the light of his power, we'll be like Joshua and Caleb. We'll say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I believe that with all my heart. I believe the church can do anything if it's through Christ. I believe if God's people will get together and study the Word together and pray together and walk together, we can be a mighty force in life. And we can face the challenges ahead in 2013 together. Where do I get my strength from? I get it from God, ultimately. But you know what? Sunday comes around and I'm on fire for God. I just love Sunday. I love to come to Sunday school class. I love to see you as a group of people. Monday, no wonder they call it Blue Monday. You're gone. Got more problems you can shake a stick at. Tuesday, same way. But you know what? I look forward to Wednesday night. I come back in here and I know that you're going to be here. I know we're going to see smiling faces together. I know we're going to pray together. I know we're going to study the Word of God together. And man, it gets my battery charged up again. You know, I don't know if I could make it by cutting out the lights on Wednesday night. I don't think I could make it from Sunday morning to Sunday morning. We overcome the world together. I draw strength from God. We all draw strength from God. But we overcome by the blood and the testimony. Man, I like your testimonies. I like to see some smiling faces. I like Wednesday night. If you're missing Wednesday night, you're missing a blessing. You're missing Tuesday, you're missing a blessing. I know Brother Jay teaches great. I just can't find that door. Billy Graham said of David and Goliath, the cowardly Israelites saw Goliath as too big to fight. Now, that's the way we see giants sometimes. Amen? We see our problems and say, Lord, we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it. And we back off in the corner and sit down. And sure enough, we don't do it. Billy Graham said, David saw Goliath as too big to miss. Now, folks, Goliath was the same to both. But one saw their problem and said, we can't do it. David saw the problem and said, God can do it. You see, Our problems need to drive us to God, not to the world. In our problems, we need to seek God's wisdom. In our problems, we need to see God's power and say, yes, we can overcome. The design of God's will is for every one of us this morning to know Him as our Heavenly Father through salvation, the new birth. And don't deviate from His plan. His plan is for us to involve ourselves in a daily prayer time, a daily quiet time, a daily getting together in His Word. If I can't be with y'all, I can be with God. You see? That's His plan. And His plan is for us not to listen to the world, but listen to the Word. You see? And you can't hear the Word if you don't get into it. And then the last thing, and I'll close. Don't let failure be final for your life. You see, failure causes us to miss a lot of blessings in life. Failure caused them to miss. Israel, they said, okay, we can take it. But God says, no. Your failure to see the promises of God will cost you your life. 40 more years of wandering. You see, don't let failure be final in your life. Don't let God shut that door in your life. You see, this morning, He opens the door of salvation to you. He says, I want you to come to salvation. That door may be shut after this morning. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I can get saved whenever I feel like it. You can't. You can't get saved whenever you feel like it. You know, it only comes by God. If you reject God's call to service, sometimes the door is slammed and it never opens again. Don't let failure be final in your life. Moses said to the people, the Lord your God has blessed you. Now, let me tell you something about 2012. God blessed us in 2012. God opened the door for us. We saw over 30 people come to salvation in 2012. But you know what? I want it to happen again in 2013, but even more. I want to see more people saved. I want to see revival in my life. I want to see revival in your life. I want to see us meeting together on Sunday morning. I want to see us like this on Sunday night even. If you're missing Sunday night, folks, you're missing a blessing. You know, you don't have to do that. You can come. It's not against the law yet. Amen. Yeah. You can come right now. They hadn't told us in Washington we can't. We can come and serve God on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. You can make it a part of your life on Wednesday night, on Tuesday. There's something going on, women's Bible study, men's Bible study. Let God really bless you. He wants to. No matter what road you're in or on today or what rut you're in, you can get out of it today. You can get out of that grave if you'll just come to Christ. You see, I told this story a long time ago. This man had his classic car. He liked these classic cars. He had spent money on that classic car. He had that classic car. It was a show car. It was cost you $200,000 to have that car, but he had it. Man, that car. His wife needed to go to the grocery store one day. He had told her, don't ever drive that car. But her car wouldn't crank, so she got the keys to that old car, and she took off to the grocery store. She got groceries, and on the way home, somebody T-boned her. She is afraid to call her husband. She is afraid to tell him she had a wreck, but more than that, it was in his classic car because that car he cherished. But finally, the call came, and she said, honey, I got something to tell you. And he says, what? She said, I wrecked your classic car. He says, were you hurt? And she says, no. But I know you'd be mad at me for wrecking your car. And he said, baby, it's not the car I love. It's you. You see, the cross of Calvary was God's love letter saying to you, regardless of how many mistakes you've made in the past years, they don't have to wreck your life. You see, God loves you that much. He wants you to have eternal life, regardless of the mess. And let me tell you something. We've made some big messes, haven't we? Regardless of the messes that we've made, God says, today is the day of salvation. You can come to God right now, just as you are. All the mess in your life, He don't want you to clean it up. Not before you come to Him. You come to Him, and then He'll clean up the mess. You leave that up to God. You just follow the design for His will. Design for His will is first, come to Him. That's all you have to do this morning. Come to Him. Then get into His Bible. Get Christ into your home. Get Christ. Let Him have your life. Don't deviate from that. Get in with a church. Get in with a Bible study. Let Him grow you like you want to. Right where you are, you can come today. You know, today can be the best day or the first day of real living in your life. And it can be the best day in your life if you'll come to Christ. Get out of that rut. Get on the road to eternal life. Maybe you've already received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I said I was going to talk to you. Listen, if you're in Christ, you've already got salvation. You don't have to be saved a time and time again. You're only saved one time. When you come to Christ, He saves you, He seals you, He keeps you. But you know what? You need to get out of the rut. Sometimes in Christianity, we don't come on Sunday night. Why? I don't know why. You're probably listening to the wrong crowd. But listen, you can make this real today. You can say, okay, God, in 2013, I want to commit myself to You, to live for You. I'll be at church on Sunday morning. I'll be at church on Sunday night. I'll be in Bible studies. I'll be on Wednesday night. I want to commit this life to You. We all make resolutions, don't we? Well, I'm asking you not to make a resolution. I'm asking you to make a commitment to God. You see, I break resolutions all the time, but commitment to God, I try to keep that commitment to God because I've made it to God. I will read my Bible. I will do what God asks me to do. I'll follow His design for my life. And I'll guarantee you, 2013 will be your best year ever. If you'll just do that. Listen, folks, I'm telling you from experience. I'm not telling you. The Bible says that. If you'll follow God, He will make your life abundant. Some of you are here today, or you're looking for a church home. Let me tell you something. We're not like every church around. We're different here. We preach the Word. We believe the Word. And if you want the Word, you'll come. If you're looking for a church that is preaching the Word, teaching the Word, this is a church. I'm not saying all other churches don't, but I know we do. And you'll find God glorified in this church. Whether it's the music program, the children's program, or the adult programs, God will always be first place. He'll be lifted up in the service. So if you're looking for a church home that you can serve at, you can worship God at, then why not come today? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessing our life. We thank You, Lord, that You're going to give us the victory in 2013. We've already got it in Christ Jesus. Let us live for Him. For it's in Your precious name we ask these things. Amen.